everybody. We're back, and you're listening to It's All About Food on this April 23rd, 2013, the day after my birthday and the day after Earth Day. Woo! And I'm feeling pretty good, pretty tired after a really big Earth Day. And I'm happy to be here today talking about food, my favorite subject. And I want to know who you are. You know, I've been doing some events lately, traveling around, and people come up to me and tell me they listen to the show, and you have no idea how wonderful that is to actually see who you are. And if you have a chance, just drop me an email, tell me about what you like, what you don't like, and who you are. I really would like to know you. And that'll help me when I'm talking in an empty studio. Right now I'm actually in a mall, and I have to apologize if the sound is not the best, but like I said, I'm traveling, and this was really the only place I could broadcast today. So, thank you for putting up with that. Okay, now it's time for some fun. I want to bring on my guest, Ellen Kanner. She's the author of a new book, Feeding the Hungry Ghost. She's an award-winning food writer and author of Feeding the Hungry Ghost, Life, Faith, and What to Eat for Dinner. She's also Huffington Post Meatless Monday blogger and the syndicated columnist, Edgy Veggie. Is published in Bon Appetit, Eating Well, Vegetarian Times, Every Day with Rachel Ray, and Culinate, as well as in other online and print publications. She's an ardent advocate for sustainable, accessible food, serving on the Miami boards of Slow Food and Common Threads. Hi, Ellen.
Hey, Karen. Happy birthday, happy Earth Day. Keep the celebration going.
I'm totally there. You know, I'm reading your book. I'm about halfway through, and I'm saying, yes, it's all about the celebration. That's the best thing about what we do. It's fun, and it's a party, and the food is fabulous, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we have got to get this message out there.
I know.
And thank you for playing Team Vegan, by the way. That is fantastic.
For playing what?
Team Vegan.
Oh, yeah. Where are our shirts? I need a Team Vegan shirt. That's right, Team Vegan. Yeah, I felt like you were on the same team as I was reading.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, the book is for anyone who loves good food. And good food is good food. This just happens to be plant-based.
That's right. If you don't have to know, is it vegan? Well, the vegan people want to know, or people with allergies certainly want to know what's in their food. But other than that, it's just good food.
Right.
I wanted to ask you, I had something on the tip of my tongue, and I swallowed it, apparently. It's all about the celebration thing. I want to kind of riff on this a little bit, because certainly, a lot of the times I talk about all the problems with animal agriculture. I was just talking about it on the half hour before, because we're talking about the environment, and we know that there's a tremendous impact with our food choices and the environment. But the bottom line is, and I think this is what's really going to bring everybody over, is how the bright side, the side effects of eating healthy food. It's delicious. It's fun. You look fabulous. I turned 55 yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. Fantastic.
And I'm not afraid to say that.
Because you look probably 10 years younger.
I don't know what I look, but I know I look good.
Right.
I feel good. And I feel good.
It's the biggest win-win-win across the board. It's fantastic, affordable, delicious food that's great for your karma. It's great for the planet. It's delicious. I mean, why not? I always start with the point of pleasure, and that's what this is all about.
Now, but there are a lot of people find that they have challenges with this diet. I know I talk to people all the time. I see a lot of deer in headlights expressions from people wanting to do, not knowing what to do. And you have your own tips and suggestions and attitudes about transitioning or eating different foods.
Or eating a little more mindfully. I think that's a great place to start. And no one likes to be told what to do. So including me, So I came up with a bunch of what I call gentle nudges. These are just ways to get you to connect a little more profoundly with what you eat and where it comes from without turning yourself inside out, even if it means trying an ancient grain like quinoa or millet instead of the usual white rice. It's got a lot more nutrition. It's got a lot more flavor. It cooks quicker. It's better for you. It's not hard to find.
Yeah, certainly not like it used to be.
Right.
And we've it's amazing the variety of food that we have available, at least in most markets in the United States. There are probably some areas where it's hard to find some things, but more and more big cities and in relatively highly populated suburbia areas, you can find any of these great foods.
I just heard from someone who picked up my book in the Cayman Islands. It's an island. And she's been able to find this stuff, and she said, holy, well, actually, she said something that was not probably something I should be saying on the air, but she said, this is really good.
Yeah, they're always surprised. I don't know what's so surprising about it. We've gone through 50, 60 years of some crazy kind of brainwashing indoctrination, getting us away from where we need to be.
Right.
And when we come back, it's just so surprising how wonderful it is. It's such a crazy world we live in. Okay, a few questions. Now, you live with your husband, who does not eat the way you do.
Yes, but, you know, if you're married to someone long enough, and if you're, a decent cook, you can kind of seduce him a little bit. He eats a lot more plant-based than he ever has, and he likes it.
Mm-hmm.
So do all our friends. The last time I had we had people over, I did this fantastic Moroccan dinner, with chickpeas and lemons and kalamatas and wonderful greens and tomatoes. And we had a great time and, maybe a little wine. And it wasn't until like 2 days later, my friend Mary called me and she said, that was vegan, wasn't it? I said, yeah, and it was also really good.
That's right. Yeah, I love having dinner parties. I love having people over and putting delicious food in their mouths.
Yeah. As I say,
sometimes it's simple food, and sometimes it's outrageously complicated, involved, taking many days to prepare, but I love doing that.
Me too. And you're right. It doesn't have to be complicated. Beans, greens, they've been part of our diet since we walked on two legs. And it's so much better for us, the foods you can recognize, than all the weird stuff that's in the middle of the grocery store, the stuff they want to sell you.
Mm-hmm.
Kale has never had to say that it's gluten-free. It just is.
I never thought of it. You just put an idea into my head, because I'm always telling people, you've got to read the labels, the fine print, put your reading glasses on. But when you're buying produce, there's no label. You don't have to read anything. The only thing that might be helpful is whether it's organic or not.
Right.
But it is what it is, and how simple is that?
Yeah, I think we do tend, as humans, to complicate things, but it doesn't need to be that way. The best food for us has been available for centuries and centuries, and it's still there. So go eat some.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that I read in your book. And you were talking about when you were about seven, I think, and you went shopping with your grandmother and you saw all of these amazing different foods and jars and things, and you tasted halva for the first time.
Right. It was a Middle Eastern grocery store, which, by the way, is still in existence, which I still go to, the same one. So there's some sort of nice personal history there.
Yeah. I love ethnic stores because you get to discover all kinds of different products that aren't in the national chain stores. And sometimes there's some healthier foods, there are simpler foods, and just adds to the variety. But I'm trying to remember when it was, but I visited Israel a few times. I haven't been there since 1988, but I remember being in Jerusalem in the old city and certainly it's modernized a little bit, but not much. You know, they're living in all of these old stone structures that were built so long ago, and there are vendors of different foods there, and I will never forget the spice vendors.
Mm.
And there might be some places like this here in the United States, but everything was in these super large, big baskets, just huge,
oh, wow,
like garbage bags, and the garbage cans only made of natural materials, filled with spices. And one would be, you know, a bright red and a bright yellow and all different beautiful earth tone colors. And I don't know why that thrilled me, but it did.
There is something kind of thrilling about it. You know, whole foods are naturally beautiful. Produce,
yeah,
is beautiful. But yes, I know what you mean about the thrill of spices. There are markets in Morocco that are like that, and there are some very fancy spice shops in Paris that are like that. But I was thrilled to find one in Miami, which is the only place I've been in the United States that encourages you to smell the spices. You know, you can get a teensy little spoon and taste them. Like, yes, yes, yes. It has to be a full body experience. I mean, that's how we eat. It's a very intimate thing.
I'm glad you brought that up. I have been really into a olfactory smelling kind of experience these days. And I find that the higher quality products that I buy, the fragrances are part of the experience.
Absolutely.
Just this whole spice thing. You know, you've got some great recipes in your book, and spices are really important. People are afraid when they go to vegetarian foods that they're not going to have enough flavor. And I kind of encourage backing away from the salt when people are preparing food. And where is that flavor going to come from? And a lot of times it comes from herbs and spices. And I'm thinking back to when I was young, and we had
young. I just feel I need to say that.
When I was younger and I lived with my parents, we had the classic combination of spice rack.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those herbs and spices were years old.
Oh, and I know. One of the things I do a lot of cooking demos, so I always bring like some fresh basil and some of the stuff that's in the jar that's just sort of brown, like you'd never know they were the same thing.
Yeah.
Go for real, go for fresh, go for green.
Now, you may have heard this, but I use a lot of herbs and spices in my recipes, too. And some people say, well, I don't have these herbs and spices. And, you know, when they're just venturing out trying a recipe, they don't want to have to invest in all of these different things.
You know, if you do invest, it's going to cost less than a couple cups of coffee at your major chains. And you'll have them on hand. So when you do come home after an exhausting day of work, you can dress up anything in just a few minutes. You know, what's worth investing in more than you? In your pleasure, in your health, in your happiness?
Yeah, that's a really good point. So many people go out every day and buy their coffee, buy their tea, and it's not cheap in many places. And that they might cringe on buying a jar of some spice that'll last for a really long time and dress up their meals. It's a kind of an interesting perspective we have on life.
Yeah, we want it now, and we don't want to invest in it. But why not? I mean, what's more precious than we are?
Yeah, I tend to buy my spices and herbs in bulk now. I invested in these tins that can hold a pretty large quantity, not garbage can size, but maybe some of them hold 4 ounces to a pound.
Uh-huh.
And so I've just bought like everything, and I have this big collection, and I use them in great quantities. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, be lavish. Be generous with yourself. It really does wake up your mouth. It really can do anything. It can transform foods effortlessly without salt. I also love lemon juice for that because a squeeze really like makes a flavor pop. And no calories, no fat, no nothing, just flavor.
And The other thing I like to talk about is that people don't know where their kitchen is, and they need to find it. And so I imagine that you do food demos and you encourage people to cook.
Yes, I do. And you don't have to have a designer kitchen to do it. You just sort of need...
Well, you know, the sad thing is the people that have a designer kitchens never use them.
This is true.
I've been in a few, and the all-clad pots have never been used.
I'm like a well-loved kitchen myself. Yeah. No, as you say, it's the frequently the least used room in the house, and it's worth discovering. You can get a lot of stuff out of a kitchen.
Now, you grew up with an interest in food and an interest in cooking. It was in your DNA, I guess.
Yes, it was. The vegan thing, I had to sort of forge my own path. But, yeah, my family always cooked, and we gathered on weekends. It's just sort of what we always did. It was a great way to bring people together. It still is.
It still is. Can we underline that? Because we've gotten so far away from that in our culture today.
It is. I don't quite get it. I know that for most people, most of my friends, cooking and eating is a lonely kind of drudging act. And I'm thinking, you know, where's the fun in that?
Mm-hmm.
I also have a friend who texts me all the time. And after like the fourth or fifth one in an afternoon, I'll say, you know, you live pretty close. Why don't you come by on your way home and we'll have dinner? It's much easier.
Yeah, I'm all about that, encouraging people to get together and break the proverbial bread.
Yeah, you know, it's sacred, and it's a great way to communicate, to commune. Put the joy back in your dinner.
Mm. Now, who is the hungry ghost?
Oh, we all are. Originally, it was a Buddhist concept about people who were so hungry and clutchy and needy and crazy that they're that way even after they die, and then they come back and haunt you. So if you want to appease the hungry ghost, you do it with care, with prayer, and with food offering. Well, we need that now. I mean, we all do. We're hungry for so much. For meaning, for connection, for love, for a greener planet that we don't necessarily know how to get, for more fun. And if we just show a little more care towards ourselves and the foods we choose, we can get all that back. We can feed our hungry ghosts.
Now, do you find that people, if you're invited to an event or people that might want to have dinner with you, are they at all intimidated?
Because I really try
to eat a certain way and you cook well.
I really try to bring it down. I want everyone to be welcome at my table. I'm the vegan who invites everyone to the table. And, you know, if someone is nervous about having me over, I'll say, look, let's make it a potluck. I'll bring something. Let's not stress. Let's put the pleasure back in this.
I agree with you, and I like to think that I try and be that way, but I know that I scare some people. And if I've ever scared anyone, I'm sorry. It's not my intention at all. I want everybody to be happy.
Right. No, being vegan, the point is compassion. And that's even for our fellow human animals, which is sometimes a struggle for me.
But some people just don't know how to make something vegan, and they don't even realize that so many of the foods that they eat are already vegan.
Exactly. But, you know, if you think, you know, I'm kind of nervous about this whole plant-based business, go to your farmer's market or go to your store or go to someone you know who eats that way and say, show me. Let's make dinner together.
Now, what about cravings? I think you mentioned cravings in there somewhere.
Oh, we all have them.
Yeah, I mean, I've been hearing a lot of different things about cravings these days, and a number of people have different spins on cravings.
Do
you have cravings?
I have cravings for greens and oatmeal.
You crave oatmeal.
I think so much of what most people eat these days is processed. And that just creates more cravings. It turns us into junkies. It doesn't make us too terribly smart, but it makes us want to eat more processed food. If I could suggest one thing, if you made one little tweak, more produce, less processed food. Mm-hmm. Once you start getting used to that, you'll find a lot of the cravings for salt, for sugar, for crazy things that you're not even sure what they are, will go away.
It pisses me off that a lot of food is designed for us to crave. It's chemically designed, and they have studied the psychology and our physiology and have put into certain processed foods this desire factor so that we are never sated and we want more of it. And that pisses me off. And I wish everybody was pissed off. I don't want to touch those foods that have been designed to program me.
Exactly. They only want you to keep buying more of them. They're not doing it for our benefit.
Pisses me off. We should get angry.
We already are.
No, we shouldn't get angry. We should
just cook better. We should eat better.
Happy. So I'm a crazy vegan. I've been vegan for 25 years and vegetarian for a whole lot more, and I like to eat healthy food. And I find, especially when I'm traveling, when I'm not in entire control of what I'm eating, and I'll eat more in a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and so I get more salt and I get more oil in my food, and to me that's eating badly. The cravings that I get are for salads and steamed greens.
Oh, yeah. I'm always desperate to get more greens into people.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing that kale can't do.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you hope happens with this book, Feeding the Hungry Ghost?
I hope Feeding the Hungry Ghost leaves you feeling nourished in every single way.
Okay. Well, I wish you a lot of luck with this book. It's great. It's a lot of fun to read. Feeding the Hungry Ghost, Life, Faith, and What to Eat for Dinner. And I'm going to be in South Florida next week, Ellen, and I hope I have a chance to meet you face to face.
That would be so much fun. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, thanks for joining me on It's All About Food. I'm Karen Herklass, and have a very, very, very delicious week. And send me an email at info@realmeals.org. I want to know who you are. Bye.